Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome into episode 46 of Coffee and Shell. I'm Sleeves, joined by my two co-hosts, Kesso and Padre. It's been a week, another week of you being a dad. Kesso, are you surviving? What's the
Dude,
word?
I'm barely surviving. I've never been more tired in my life. Like last night, I got 6 hours of sleep. That was the most I think I've gotten in the 3 weeks. This is pure torture right now. I'm thinking, like, I was so tired. I'm like, oh, we got to go on, talk about hockey ultimate team.
Let's go.
Talk about presentation. I'm like, what is there to talk about?
But, the biggies.
It's always fun talking to you guys. So you got to keep me up for like another little bit and then I can go to sleep.
All right. Sounds good. Padre, what about you? You had a big weekend, Padre. Tell us about it.
I did. I'm a fantasy camp champion again.
Let's go.
It's my fourth title. I've won two in Nashville, now two in St. Louis. But yeah, it was a fun weekend. I got to hang out with a lot of former Blues players, Jamal Mayers, Brad Boys, Cam Jansen, a few, Barrett Jackman. There were some cool guys there. It's fun to hang out with those guys, hear the stories and stuff that, you know, you're not allowed to be, you know.
You're not privy to. Open.
Yeah, you're not privy to unless you're like in the room. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Chris Pronger was there. It was pretty awesome.
Who is the one dude that was just trying way too hard?
That played in the NHL.
Yeah.
there were some pro guys there that didn't play in the NHL that were going game seven. But the guys that try hard that played pro, I mean, I guess I would have to say Cam Jansen.
Yeah.
he's my best friend, I guess, that's out there. And he's a mile a minute, man. His energy, like, I'm exhausted from the weekend. And I didn't even go, like, he went hard all weekend, on and off the ice. And I am just exhausted from being around him. Because he is a mile a minute, and you guys know me. I could talk to a wall, but he is just high energy. We'll have him on eventually on this podcast, I'm telling you right now. And he is very excited. I told Kesso and Sleaze this when I told him about, you know, I'm doing this video game podcast. You know, we're trying to, you know, integrate, like, real NHL and the video game. And he's like, yeah, I can talk games. I play Elder Scroll. I play Oblivion. I'm like, okay. Well, this will be hilarious then.
Let's go. All right. Well, dude, I'm glad you had a good weekend. Kesso, I hope you survive. I mean, hey. Good news is it's only like the busiest time of the year as a content creator in like 2.5 weeks. So there's that. Is it 2-3 weeks? 3 weeks.
Yeah. How was your weekend? You're closing in on 75 hard, right?
Dude, I'm close. So yeah, I finished day 70 today. I didn't do much this weekend, really. I just hung out with my wife. We did like a full like clean of our house. And then, you know what? There's nothing like going into a week with your house clean. My hand is absolutely destroyed from baseball and I have one more game left finally. And if I don't win, I'll be extremely rattled because, like, you know, like when you get to a certain age and there's like not much else to play for, right? But like,
right,
you know, like the rec sports is like all you got when it comes like competition. I've done some damage to my wrist that like could make me even worse at Shell, which just sounds so dumb. That as long as I win, it won't be as bad.
But. I was at dinner this weekend too, by the way, and my mom goes, "Hey, I saw that guy you do the podcast with is doing 75 hard. That's pretty cool.
Let's go."
Mommy Maj is a fan of no sleeves.
How did she see that?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
She like looked at my Twitter or something, saw that I was doing this podcast, and she's like, she just clicked on like one of your names, and I guess she clicked on Sleevesy, and she saw the 75 hard stuff because. Obviously, Andy Frisilla is from St. Louis.
Yep.
It's kind of a big deal around here, so yeah.
Dude, the water is still the hardest. Like,
I bet.
For anyone that doesn't like do like construction or like moving, like drinking a gallon of water for me is like the only time I'm thirsty is like when I go and do like my two rounds of cardio. But like other than that, man, I don't drink a lot. I'm just sitting here, right? So the water was definitely the hardest still because it's about to be 11 p.m. is the time we record this, and I still have like a quarter of a gallon left, like. Yeah, it is
How big is that jug right
this
there?
This is a half gallon.
So you have to do two of those.
Two of these, and I've got like, yeah.
How many times you waking up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom?
Dude, there's some nights where like I've had to stay up to like 1:30, and I'm literally 30 minutes, I'm just pounding water to get this down. And then it's like 3:45, 4:10, 5 a.m. I'm just like, God, it's so frustrating. But it's been 70 days. I have no cravings for chips or like salty foods, which is my vice. And same with bread. I haven't had bread either, which is like probably the most rewarding thing. Obviously, the weight loss. Like, I'm down like 27 pounds. But I'm excited to be done it and then like kind of just roll with and adjust to some things. Like, you know, like, again, I don't need a gallon of water a day. Like, there's really, unless you are a pro athlete or, you know, you work construction in the middle of August, like, you really don't need a gallon of water in a day. It's such an overkill. So that'll be nice to dial that back to like half or something like normal. But no, it's been good. I'm glad it'll be done to say that I did it once. And then I'll just, I don't know, pick up something else to do. But I kind of want to do like a content creator, like 75 hour that I make, like a YouTube video, a TikTok, Instagram post, Twitch stream, like all in one go. And you've got to go and do a 45-minute workout. Yeah, like I think that's what I might do.
To say you're gonna ask other content creators to do 75 hard, because that would be, that might be a good thing for some people.
There won't be.
I have to tell you, I would probably die if I tried that. Like, especially right now, just with all the sitting I've been doing.
It's
I don't think I could do it.
It's funny because like a lot of people like that ask me about it. They you work out twice a day, and like the first thing you think was like doing light weights and whatnot. And I did that for like the first 2 weeks. One of my workouts, one of them has to be outside, and then one of them could be whatever, as long as you work out for 45 minutes. And I was at the gym for like one of my workouts every day for like the first week. I just really didn't enjoy it anymore. I'm just not like, because I was so out of shape, I was in the worst shape of my life. I just didn't feel like going to the gym. So like he says like in his thing that you can literally just run or walk, like as long as you're not like strolling, right? So I've literally just walked twice a day, 45 minutes a day. And like that's easy, like that, because I have I throw a podcast on, I zone out, and like it's nothing, and it's nice to be like outside and like actually move around. So that part wasn't that difficult, but the water and the reading is a little difficult for me too. But I found a book I actually really enjoy. It's actually, Kessa, you might like. It's called The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone, who's like a kind of a cringy. He's kind of a cringy YouTube creator, like self help guy who's like a billionaire or a multi millionaire, and he kind of like. In like the same vein as like Vaynerchuk, but like a lot more bro, like not as like not as, you know, like, you know what I mean? Not as,
dude, if you're trying to sell me on this book, you're doing like the worst job.
Yeah, like the one thing about it, it's called the 10X rule, and it's basically how to like just like 10X your efforts into like everything. And it kind of hit home with me because that's what I basically did with YouTube, where I just posted 500 videos in like a year long span. So it's kind of just hit home. But no, it's
got a good book for you coming out on October 25th. I'm making an appearance at in a book by Steven Wino. It's an emergency goalie book, so I'll have to send you one.
That's sick. Yo, let's go.
I need a copy of that
autograph.
I'm excited to read it just because it's like fun. It's like cool. Like, it's cool stories from all these different emergency goalies. And he like called me about it, I don't know, 6-7 months ago, and he did like a whole thing with me, and I'm excited to read it though.
Is Ayers like probably a huge portion of it, because he's got the most famous one.
Yeah, and I think it's gonna even go back to like that guy that got in from in Philadelphia back in the day, and he was like a Temple goalie or something. I mean, there's so many crazy stories. So I'm just excited to read it.
Glass in Chicago, wasn't he emergency goal? Like with the
No, that was Scott Foster. Glass is the guy that was on the greatest world junior team ever, Team Canada. Yeah. And he came, but that was a cool story nonetheless, because all those years he didn't make it, and then he finally made the NHL. So
that was it.
Scott Foster was the accountant. That's why I like that. That's why I was like, yeah, I love that guy. I got to get his jersey.
All right, guys. So we did get some Hut news. We got the Hut presentation and the presentation deep dive, and
pretty shallow.
It's just further hammering home that, like, obviously this year cross console is like just a giant undertaking for them. And I think we have to start treating like EA as like not a AAA development company and almost like an indie company in terms of like development, because their resources are so small. Like in comparison, everyone sees them under the EA banner, and National Hockey League is one of the biggest sports in the world. But it's just like, so, you know, we get cross console, and we knew that would take a majority of the resources, and like feel like this would have never been in, like they would never put a focus on this if it wasn't like, oh, we need something kind of thing. Yeah. But so for anyone that hasn't watched, go back and watch the presentation deep dive. But essentially we got a lot of things that, man, they love to bring stuff back and hype the fact that they brought stuff back and like not really innovate, which was kind of the theme. Maybe I'm a little bit too critical. I will say this before we get into it, everything they added back in, good. Like it's not bad, but it's all positive. It is just, it's tough. That is the selling point, the things that they showed. So, Kesso, you watched the presentation deep dive. What kind of stood out to you, and what were your initial thoughts on it?
Dude, the first thing that stood out to me, so I didn't watch it at first because I don't know what I was doing. I'm like, I don't really care myself about the mm-hmm. presentation, mm-hmm. but I saw somebody had a tweet and it was a screen grab of the Stanley Cup. So after you win the Stanley Cup, you know, the players that were on your roster get put on there, and Joe NHL listed on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I almost commented on it. I was like, dude, sick edit. Like, I thought somebody Photoshopped that in like that quick. I thought it was like a great Photoshop. And then I'm like, let me go watch this video. And like, there it is. You watch it like 2 minutes in, Joe NHL is in the video. Like, I wondered, did they do that as an Easter egg, or was that just an accident?
I think it's just because like that's like your creative player, and it's been Joe NHL never mind. So Joe NHL, he wins the cup. So that is cool to see. I will say that the graphic that comes up, it's nice that it's rewarding. You know that like. When you went in franchise mode, so much of it is just like a little thing that says "Congratulations, the Toronto Maple Leafs Stanley Cup champions," and it's like just like the black like normal screen. Now
it's
they
just
get
like a text box.
It's mind boggling. Now you get a little bit more rewarding reward from it. So that was nice to see. Also, way to troll by EA showing the Toronto Maple Leafs as the Stanley Cup champions. It's like absolutely confirming that they have no shot next year. Like, what? I would not want any part of that if I was a Leafs fan, but nonetheless, it was pretty cool that they put that on. Padre, what were your thoughts on it, on the deep dive?
Obviously, I put out that tweet about it being like NHL 10. Kessa sent me this funny screenshot. I'm like, Kessa, can I post this? This is so funny.
I was like, you know what? I'm not going to post this because one of these days I am going to get canned from the game program for being too critical. So I was like, Padre, you know, you can have this one.
Padre, you be the bad boy. I'll take it. But no, I mean, it's just... I like Slee said, I wish they wouldn't, you know, almost be like, wow, like, look at this new, you know, new thing, even though it's not really new. Like, the rally towels waving. Me and Kess were talking about this. I can't remember what year it was, but I remember them hyping that up back in the day. And it's just like, now it's like thunder sticks or glow sticks or I don't know, whatever it is. And Cord Lehman in my Discord, of all people, Cord's really into this stuff. So I always like take his word for it. When something's wrong in a stadium, something's wrong in games. Like, there's no teams that use the lightsabers or whatever. I'm like, okay, Cord, you're spot on. They should hire him. He knows everything about it. But I just wish, you know, they wouldn't hype it up so much. But I guess like when you, like you said, they don't have like a ton this year, they kind of have to hype up something. And I don't know, I mean, all this stuff's good stuff, like we said, nothing's really bad about it. It makes it more authentic, so I guess that's all that matters in the end.
Yeah, like I'd like to see, I'm curious because like from what I understand from the blog post is that like every arenas or the arenas that have authentic openings are gonna get like their authentic like I would love it if the Sharks come out of the Shark Head. Like, that's cool, you know. You know, it'll be interesting that you can put, dude, I don't know if you saw it, like, you can customize what they throw on the ice.
Yeah, for the hat trick, right?
Yeah, like teddy bears and, like, fish or whatever.
I
just think like
this is a junior hockey and AHL thing, you know what I mean? When they do the teddy bear toss. I think that's cool. Now, the one that I didn't understand was, I think it was, like, aliens. Or something. I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
that didn't make any sense to me. And here's what, like, so I think, did they mention it was only World of Chell that you could do that?
They didn't say it was in Hutt. And because you can go in and customize what they're throwing, which is kind of cool, I guess, in a sense. Like, for arena customization, you actually choose what you want.
Yeah.
In Hutt, we don't have that. So I have no idea in that sense what they're going to do there. Like, I think that whatever team you pick is your favorite team or the first team, because it's very difficult to get arenas in Hutt.
Dude, I finished the year with like four of
them. Yeah. And I ripped a couple grand in packs, and let me tell you, I think I got like five total. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like,
go for a lot on the auction house too. Like, I remember the Vegas one I sold for like 10K, I remember.
Yep.
Sleazy, I gotta ask you, doesn't the Sharks, don't they come out to Seek and Destroy? Isn't that what they come out to?
Yes, they go to Metallica, yeah.
Obviously, that'd be impossible to get that soundtrack. Back in the day, I remember you used to be able to edit like your songs. It was so cool. Like, on the old gen NHL, you could like, and I remember I used to have I Like It, I Love It, like the guy from the one that's in Nashville. Because I thought that was like the sickest goal song in hockey, because like the Preds fans would chant like, you suck and all this stuff.
Yep.
And so every time I scored on Kesso in ESHL when I used to spank his team around, it used to play that song. No, I was kidding. But no, for real, it was so funny.
No,
like,
you could do that. NHL 2K7 was like really in-depth with that.
Yeah. So there is some
stuff you can
do
like specific teams. So like the Canucks, I don't know if they still do it because I'm not like staying up late to watch a Canucks game. Was it the U2 song where the streets have no name?
Yeah.
Oh, they still do that. So like I had that U2 CD, right? So you can just put it on the Xbox 360 and then click on the Canucks, have that as their song. It was so much better than what we have now.
I'm wondering if that was an Xbox thing, because I'm thinking back to, like, I remember, like, one of the coolest, like, features of the original Xbox was, like, if you play, like, San Andreas, like, there's a radio station that could literally be, like, what you had in your, like, downloaded onto your console. Like, I remember putting, like, System of a Down's, like, CD, like, downloaded on my original Xbox, and, like, that was the radio station. And I'm wondering if, like, I'm trying to think of a cut, like, the mid 2000s, because I know you could customize the songs you'd come out to and all of that. Like, those are things that, like, it's weird that they're not in the game now. And I want to ask you if you guys agree, I don't know if you guys agree with this or not, but no longer is the selling point. Like, think back to, like, NHL 04 and 05, even 06. That was really before online was a big thing, right? So, like, the main selling point of a sports game was GM mode. Like, that's all it was, right? Like, there was no online. And if there was online, it was so new that, like, you know, it wasn't... You played couch co-op more against your buddies more than you played online. And back then, those little things, like the towels waving, playing on Winter Classic ice, like, all that kind of stuff was, like, the huge selling points of the game. And now, it's, like, because we just don't play offline nearly as much, and it doesn't get enough fanfare because the people that are making content, let's say, or just like the people that are engaging on social media and the stuff that you can show off, you don't get the offline crowd nearly as much because they're offline, right? So I'm wondering if, like, it's just the way that games are now, where they need to make, like, a new game mode, they need to make, like, the way that you're playing gameplay wise and all these little things that would have been super cool back in, like, NHL 05 are just, like, to be expected, or, like, it's, like, meh, like, I don't, like, this doesn't impact the game enough for me. And I'm wondering if you guys agree or disagree on that, like, if it's just the era of games, specifically for sports games.
Yeah, it has to be, because, like, I think back to, like, ESPN, like, NFL 2K5.
Dude, ESPN,
like,
games.
They had a halftime show with, like, Chris Berman in there. Mm-hmm. And, like, nothing, like, no sports game that I'm aware of has come close to that level of, like, detail. But there's no point to do that now, because everybody plays online, and the 5 to 10% that only play franchise mode, I think that's just what it's going to be.
And most, like, of them are simming.
Why would you waste those resources?
Most of them are simming too. Yeah. Right. Like, I know myself. Like, I play, like, a solid, I probably play about 50 to 100 hours of franchise mode in a year, and like, I very rarely do I play, because playing the computer, I think this is another issue with NHL as a whole. Playing the computer in NHL, we've talked about this, Kesso. It's very easy to play the computer in NHL more than it is probably than any other sports game, where it's easy to defeat them once you get kind of used to it. Like, Padre, you can talk about this. Like, if you go and try and play Legend in MLB, like, even the best players, if you're playing Legend against a CPU, like, you're not hitting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not doing well. Same with Madden. Like, Madden's even worse, because, like, if you don't have an encyclopedia of knowledge and you can't read, someone's in cover two or whatever, like, the CPU is going to eat you alive. So I'm wondering if, like, that kind of plays into it, that it is kind of easier. And you have to think that, like, humans just lose the, you know, like, the intent to want to play something when things are too easy. And I, honest to God, like, that's why I don't play, like, offline, like, actually play the games offline anymore. I don't know.
Our attention spans are shorter, too.
Yeah.
That was what I was about to say. I was about to talk about kind of think about, like, MLB. There's, you can actually pick, like, when you're offline, if you want to play fast play, mm-hmm. or, like, presentation mode. So the presentation mode would be kind of like what Kessel was saying, where, like, Chris Berman, they do, like, the halftime show, they do all this stuff. Like, MLB's kind of like that, but you can do fast play. Well, I always choose fast play. I don't care about the cutscenes. I love the detail in MLB. And I think that's part of it too, is they've set such a high standard, like MLB has and other sports games, that some of the things are, it's kind of like, well, that should be a given, right? With NHL, okay, well, we should have that. We should have, you know, every player looking the way they should look. You know, every player should have their gear that they wear, you know, because MLB has every single batting stance and every single bat, and that, you name it, you know. So I think it's kind of just, we're spoiled in a way with that game and other games. So I think everyone kind of expects, well, NHL should be the same way.
I think
you know what this sounds like to me, Padre? Sounds like you're becoming a bootlicker. You're supporting EA. That's what it sounds like. You've come to the dark side.
I'll say this about EA, NHL specifically. It always blows me away that every one of their modes, if they just worked together, would make an incredible game. And what I mean by that is, like, imagine Be a Pro and World of Chell. Like, your Be a Pro character was what you used in World of Chell. If you, even in, like, something like Hut Rush has an XP path. Imagine that XP path was in Hockey Ultimate Team. Like, there's so many things. World of Chell specifically, the amount of detail, even if it's not a ton, arena customization, jersey customization. Like, we don't have that in Hockey Ultimate because it's like two separate games.
I think it's just an EA problem, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and you're basically talking about MLB. Like, that's the problem, and it's not an EA
game. I mean, dude,
game,
even man. NBA. Even NBA. Like, yeah, I just started dabbling.
Too, right? That's not San Diego Studios making that game. But it's, you know, it's just, it must be an EA thing, and they must just follow the model of Madden and FIFA, and I guess that's just how it goes, I don't know.
So I started playing, I guess this is a good nice little segue here. I started playing 2K, the Raptors. I got to work with the Raptors 2K lead team this year, and they sent me a copy of NBA, and I'm not a big basketball guy. Like, I haven't really been, like, ever really in my life. But I was like, you know what, I'll try out 2K. So I did the My Career, and like, the city and the stuff in there is unbelievable. First, I'll say this about the city. It's not flawless. Like, it's very choppy, and the movement is, like, something out of, like, Resident Evil from PlayStation 2. Like, it is very poor in that sense, and things don't load. But the scope of it is simply incredible. And, like, I have to wonder if it's because developers now, if you were going to make a sports game, like, let's pretend you started back at zero, the code and the foundation of the game would be so different than what they have now, because that's always been what the major issue is that, like, they can't catch up, sports developers, because they, A, only get 1 year, and they're just used to whatever is, like, left. Like, I think that's why Madden is always, like, the big brother of NHL. Like, anything Madden gets, it's not FIFA, but Madden specifically, anything Madden gets, NHL gets, like, X-Factors. Like, you know, anything that Madden gets, we rivals, I think, started in Hut Champs.
Started in FIFA.
FIFA. Yeah. Mutt Champs, so, like, that kind of stuff. Like, the Champions
that weekend.
Weekend
League
yeah.
thing was, like, Madden first.
When you mean city, are you, like, literally in the city of Toronto? Is that what you're saying?
It is. It's called, like, I think it's called The City. I think it's just called The City. Yeah, and it's, like, bro, there's probably, like, I want to say, like, 500 other players that are, like, in there. And you see him running around. You got to run to your office. You have, like, quests and stuff. You got to go hit the...
I think there's, like, a barbershop in there, too, right?
And what's wild is that, like, let's say someone goes to one of the park courts, like, just out and about, and decides to shoot around. It's, like, it doesn't server and instance you into your own thing. You can literally stand there and see the dude real-time shooting, like, hoops. Like, if you were to jump in and play, you could go and watch me play and shoot around at this open court. And then you could actually walk up and, like, join me. Like, that kind of thing. There's a story to it. Like, it is. And I can't imagine Madden, FIFA being able to even do that. Like, the scope and, like, the... Like, people are like, man, imagine NHL. You could, like, rollerblade around or whatever. And I'm just like, there is no shot EA could ever, in one calendar year, put this in. Because it looks like... Because 2K came... I don't want to say came out of nowhere. But NBA Live was a thing.
Yeah.
Like, NBA Live was, like, the leader in basketball games. And, like... It was like 2K is like, all right, we'll put this investment in. They're like, we're going to triple down on, like, the 2K league. Their involvement with the league itself is so big.
Do you know why NBA Live fell apart?
I do not.
So, I mean, this is all my assumption. Padre will have a little bit of insight into this. So NHL 07 started with the skill stick, right?
Yes.
So they patented that technology. Mm-hmm. David Littman was the producer on that game.
Okay.
So NHL 07 through, like, 10 had amazing success, like, high critic review scores, all that stuff. He was taken onto the NBA Live team to try to incorporate something with that right stick, I believe. Like, I don't know if it wouldn't be like a one-to-one, obviously. It's a different sport.
Yeah.
But controlling the game through the right stick movement. They tried to do that. It didn't work in basketball. It sucked. Like, the game sucked. Like, I think they had to skip a couple years. After that, it tanked, right? NBA 2K started to take over. They never were able to catch up with NBA Live. I think they released, like, the last one a couple years ago.
It was 18 or 19, I think. I think it was 18. Yep.
They'll never be able to do it again. And the funny thing, think about this. How crazy is it that we just call the game 2K? Like,
yeah.
It used to be 2K Sports. They made NHL. They made a football game. They made a hockey game. And now we just call an actual sports game 2K, not NBA. You know what I mean? It's just so funny how much they dominated. I think they dominated more than any game, sports game. Now, Madden is just... Like, that's a historical game in general. But I'm just saying, recently, 2K's dominated everything.
I think that the one thing, though, is, like, the NHL franchise, everyone's like, dude, I wish 2K would make an NHL game. Their NHL games were awful. Like, no one bought them. Like, if you were to go back and play them...
I'm the only guy, I guess. I loved them.
Dude, like, they were not better than any NHL version, though.
Gameplay, no. Franchise.
Gameplay, no.
Like, no, that's the thing. Like, and now it's like... again, with how we play the game, like how we play games now, like the gameplay needs to be, and NHL is not good gameplay, great gameplay, but like, you know, if you're comparing, like, you know, if imagine the NHL competition had a worse gameplay option, like even if they had all of the bells and whistles, like you still wouldn't want it because that's the majority of what you're doing. So it's just, you know, and the WWE game, 2K tanked that. That was a disaster. The WWE game.
That's what I heard. Yeah, I hadn't played a wrestling game since like SmackDown versus Raw.
Oh yeah.
So it's been a while, but yeah. I heard that WWE 2K1 was really bad.
But yeah, so like the presentation stuff, I knew that it was going to be light, and when I saw that it was a deep dive, I'm like, oh man, like they're, you know, what's even scarier is that the next deep dive is called Game Modes, which means Franchise Mode, Be a Pro, and World of Chill are all thrown into one, which does not bode well for any of those modes.
Yeah.
Because World of Chell has been the most dominant feature, like, new feature thing every single year. And I still state that this will be one of the most important NHL games in the franchise, because once cross-console works, the game can finally, like, breathe. Like, the developers can actually be creative with the modes and things that they can put into the game. But we'll have to wait and see, because, man, it's gonna be a tough, man, imagine it, it's funny, because at launch of the game, man, cross console is not even gonna be in there, so it's gonna be light on the year-over-year improvements. So
we know how they operate with, like, they have a long list of, like, items every mm-hmm. year that they want to get to. Mm-hmm. Some are more important.
They start
than
with,
others.
Like, 50.
So, like, yeah, so we know that, like, cross console is probably number one, right? So once they went with that, they were probably looking at like number 40 through number 50. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are the quickest things we can get in that we can at least say that we've added things?
Yeah. And like, I like personally, like, again, knowing like the background of it and like that, I kind of expected that. I knew the year the cross console came in, it would be tough. But like I've said, I don't know if I said this in a podcast, I said this on stream though. Even like conversations I get with the developers, man, like, obviously, they're always optimistic about their game, and like, they're, you know, like, it's their jobs, like, they're passionate about it. But like, I get this sense when they talk about 24 or something, they're like, you know, like 24, like, there's just this, like, man, I can't wait for 24. And that makes me happy in a sense that, like, you know, because 2 years ago, it's not like the developers were like, man, NHL 22 is going to be a banger. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was just like, yeah, we're working on this year, we'll start working. Like, so I don't know. We'll wait and see. But yeah, it's, I think for offline players, the presentation stuff was cool. For World of Chell, I don't know how much throwing teddy bears in the ice is really going to move the needle, but the authentic fan stuff is really cool. But for Hutt, I literally don't other than the new augmented reality stuff, like the showing like hits, but what are the odds that works in Hutt? Because that broke the game.
It didn't work all year, like, yeah. Last year. So, like, I mean, I was kind of laughing whenever I saw that in there. Because, like, obviously they won't acknowledge the prior year and, like, the fact that it didn't work. Mm-hmm. But, like, I was still, like, 5 to 10% of me was like, you know, we were aware that this didn't work. And, like, but it's working now.
Let's double down on putting it into a thing to hype it up. So,
yeah.
All right, well, you know, it is what it is. But let's move on. Let's talk about, we got a full list of team builders now, because in the last episode, I believe we just talked about the Eastern Conference, and they were some extremely odd choices, all right? Very, very odd choices that we, all of us did not really find that made a lot of sense. I got to say, the Western Conference picks, a lot better. So I'll go over some of them right now. And just tell me if you kind of give me like, or like, no, this doesn't make any sense. So these are the 84 overall team builders. We'll do the Pacific Division first. And we'll start off Lanny McDonald for the Calgary Flames.
I agree.
That makes sense. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Brad May for the Anaheim Ducks. Yeah. A lot of, like, give me Francois Beauchemin or, give me
Sammy Paulson.
Yeah. Yes. Perfect one. You know, give me an 84 overall. Sammy Paulson was a good one.
I don't know if his rights are in the game, but yeah, you know what I mean.
that would have been a good one. Steve Staios for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
Like, I get, like, I don't know.
I always thought, like, so. Like,
Aleš Hemsky.
Yeah.
I always thought Staios was bad. Like, this is from me watching as a kid, but I always thought the fans didn't like him. I could be wrong.
It's like that, like, I mean, I guess it kind of fits into 84 overall. Like, if you're thinking of, like, the tiers of it, I guess it kind of does. But he was, like, just a middle whatever. Like, wasn't awful, wasn't great, you know? Yeah. Dustin Brown for the LA Kings. I hate Dustin Brown, but this actually kind of makes sense because, you know, Dustin Brown is a team builder. Going to get a statue next to Kobe. Brandon, isn't that ridiculous? Padre, come on. You got to have the statue of Dustin Brown outside the Staples Center or whatever.
Next to Kobe Bryant?
Wait, yeah, they're doing that?
They're doing a Dustin Brown statue.
That's a little much. But I understand how much he meant to the Kings franchise. 100%. I just don't know if you need to put him next to Kobe Bryant. I'd almost put Shaq next to him before I put Dustin Brown.
Or like Anze Kopitar.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Quick, I know you don't like him. I mean, Drew, I don't know. It's just a little odd to me because he's not even the greatest King. I don't even know. Is he even in top five greatest Kings? You know what I mean?
No, about, no shot, no shot.
You know what I'm saying? Like Luke Robitaille.
This isn't even dunking on the Kings.
Marcel Dion, Gretzky that you'd have to put even.
This is for the other podcast.
Yeah. Kings fans will be like, ah, just because you hate the Kings. Like, let's be honest here. Would you really be okay with Dustin Brown over Quick, Doughty, or Kopitar if they were to like who give a statue to one of them?
It's next to Kobe, though. Like,
maybe it's not happening, but like that's what like it was. It's like they're getting a statue inside of Crypto.com Arena or whatever. Like it's like,
well, maybe it's like in the back of it or something.
Maybe. Brendan Morrison for the Vancouver Canucks. All right with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
That's okay. That's not bad. Nate Schmidt for the Golden Knights. Love it because the team hated when they had to move him. That was like he was the first. We don't give a shit about you guys. We're just gonna try and get the best players. You know, like. That was like the Golden Knights have just become the poster child of like team chemistry be damned. We're just gonna go get whoever is number one. Alan McCauley for the Sharks. My first like 2 years as a Sharks fan, I loved Alan McCauley, and I think I like him more as a Sharks fan because I was like I grew up in Southern Ontario, so like I saw Alan McCauley when he was actually half decent. I think there's tons of other options for the Sharks, but personally I'm okay with it because it was like right when I became a Sharks fan. They gave us Vinny Danfus as a Shark, which was awesome because he was like when I became a Sharks fan, it was that season, and then he retired during the lockout. It's like I was like, this is pretty sweet.
I want a Jonathan Chichu.
Dude, he has got to be one of the most obscure, but like people would lose it if he got in the game.
Yeah.
How many kids that play this game nowadays would know how many goals he scored that season? You know what I mean? Like people would be like, no way, 56,
right?
56. Yeah. I didn't
even realize that.
Dude, I have a VHS tape because back in early 2005, like 2005 in the States or in Canada, you couldn't watch out of market hockey. So the only way I could watch it was when I was on the weekends in Buffalo and when I stayed at my mom's house. She had DirecTV like satellite and I would be able to watch the Sharks game because they were out of market. And I remember there was one, the last game of the season. They were like, we're going to air a 4 minute every single goal of Jonathan Chichu's season. I remember I put the VCR in. I have to find the tape, dude. It was like I don't know. It was so dumb. Jonathan Chichu, that would be a perfect one.
Great name.
Kale Fleury from the Kraken. They don't really have. I feel like Giordano is the pick here.
I mean, I just don't even know what the crap.
I get, yeah, like
they were just so boring last year. I can't even think of like a, because like the first year of the Knights, it was like
that's all generation.
It was Englund, it was Schmidt. With like the Kraken, they just didn't do anything last year, so there was nothing to be like, oh wow, that guy should be the guy. You know, maybe Jared McCann. I don't know.
I feel like because Giordano was the captain, and like you know, like I don't think that would make sense. All right, so
weird.
On to the Central, Mike Fisher for the Predators.
Great pick.
Love that pick. I do. I like that pick a lot. Paul McClain for the Winnipeg Jets.
So I don't like this, and I know the Jets like take like the actual Winnipeg. It should be like Danny Heatley or something from the Thrashers.
Yes. Kovalchuk.
I don't know. Yeah.
I agree. They go. They mix and match because Arizona. I mean,
dude, that's not fair. You're taking from two franchises.
That is a good point. That you do bring up a great point.
Like, you know what? I don't like the Jets anymore.
It really is like one of the weirdest things in hockey because they like
don't acknowledge
it. It's the Coyotes, but it's like technically Paul McClain's Coyotes franchise if you think about it. And then you know the Jets are now threat. It's weird. It's one of those tough like gray areas.
I'm trying to think of like a good Jet from like I don't
what Jet are we talking about? Thrasher Jet or
yeah Phoenix, it's gotta Jet. Be Thrasher Jet. Yeah, like okay, Dustin so Dustin Jet. Bufflin,
he's better than me.
Brian Little, although they did it last year. Brian Little was last year. That's a good point. Yeah. Tobias Enstrom.
Oh wait, we can't have goalies. Never mind.
Tobias Enstrom.
Yes, there you
go. That's the one. It's Tobias Enstrom. That's the one.
Always Enstrom.
John Michael Lyles for the Avalanche.
I don't like this at all, dude.
I don't know why, as a team builder, you highlight the worst years of the Colorado Avalanche. Because John Michael Lyles is like that Duchesne era where it was like awful. I'm pretty sure, right? Like,
yeah, so why don't you go? Good years
he was Duchesne, pretty decent. Though. He was pretty decent.
Yeah. Why don't you go like Milan Hayduk?
It's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like Milan Hayduk would be a really good one.
Adam Deadmarsh wouldn't be a bad one. You know, yeah. they had a lot of good players.
God, dude, Adam Futskard in 2022 is just a, but that's a that was an all that that is a Hall of Fame card. That Adam Foot card. Marek Jedlicki for the Minnesota Wild. Not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not either with that one. I agree.
I'm trying to think of like.
I know they don't want to do goalies, but like I would.
If
like
Ralston would have been.
Ralston. Yeah. What about Pierre-Marc Bouchard or Andrew Brunette?
I'm trying to think. Someone has a short last name. It's not Gill.
Last year they used Nick Schultz as like their main guy, right? So yeah. They're kind of picking from that era when they weren't very good, but they weren't very bad. You know what I mean? So like, what about, remember Antti Miettinen? Remember that guy?
Yeah.
He was always on the team. Like, I don't know. Just guys like that are kind of different.
Brian Campbell. If I'm not mistaken, Chicago Blackhawks fans like hate Brian Campbell.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Like, maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure I know Sharks fans hate Brian Campbell.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Didn't you guys had him for what, the trade deadline from Buffalo?
That was right? They got him from Buffalo and he just straight up left for more money. Like he didn't want to sign with the Sharks at all. I think he took less money to go to Chicago.
Yeah. There's a lot of Hawks you could do. I mean, it just depends like what era you want to go with. Right. So it's
Martin Havlat. No, yeah, wait, like not
Joel Person. Joel Person was the one last year.
I'm thinking Senator. He was a Senator, but was he not a
Blackhawk? Yeah, but he was on the Blackhawks too, I believe.
Yeah, Martin Havlat.
I mean, just go Dustin Byfuglien for two teams.
Versteeg, Ladd,
Versteeg's a good one. I'm thinking like early 2000s Blackhawks when they were awful. Like, there's kids that have no idea the Blackhawks were bad. And they were bad. Like, dude, the 90s and early 2000s, dude, Chicago was awful. I'm trying to think of like I was going through old NHL games last year. I was trying to think of like old NHL games, and I'm looking through the Blackhawks. I'm going through rosters, and there was only one player. I'm trying to think. Oh, it's gonna drive me nuts. Maybe it'll come to me. But
Arneson, maybe.
No, there was a time when there was like one good Blackhawk. I'm sure Blackhawks, and I'm talking like late 90s. This is after Roenick was gone. After
Tony Amonte.
Bang! Let's go, Kesso. Yeah, Tony Amonte would be a great one. Give me that.
He was the only one on the team.
Yeah, that was it, dude. Like, if you go through those old rosters, it was like he was
those
like
old games. Yeah, because like all I did was play franchise. Yeah, he same. Was like 99, and yep. Then they'd have like nobody else.
Nobody else. That was it. Stu Barnes for the Stars. I feel like online he got a lot of hate. I think that there's better Stars for sure. I don't know. How do you feel about that one, Padre?
I mean, I don't. It's tough. I mean, there's some Stars I guess you could have chose. Like, I always think of Stars in that era that, cause you got to think like they can't be like great players because it's an 84, right?
Fan so favorites.
Like, right. Yeah. So I don't know. I always think of, like Daryl Sador.
Daryl Sador is a good one.
You know, like Brendan Morrow, maybe. I don't know. You know, so I don't know like how high you want to get it, you know, overall wise, but I don't know. I don't think Stu Barnes is
terrible. Yeah. I don't think everyone's bad. I don't think it's
I just
bad.
Don't, you know, I don't know like who else, I guess maybe, but yeah.
What
Jimmy
are you?
Langenbrunner.
I feel like he's too good though.
They've had him in a lot, I feel like,
they
over
do.
The years, too.
Yeah,
so
they use
I like
him a
different
lot.
Players. Yeah.
All right, give me your take on Brad. You just skated with Brad Boys. He's a team builder for the Blues.
I just met Brad Boys this weekend. I mean, he had his best years with the Blues. So, it's you know, I mean, just like with the Sharks, just like Kessel with the Penguins, there's hundreds of Blues players I could pop in there, obscure people, you know, that are third, fourth liners. That would be fun, but it is what
was
it is.
Boys not the guy that like was traded because he had like hype to the Sharks and the Leafs? Am I mixing him up with somebody else?
Yeah, he was drafted by the Leafs. Think he played only like, I think I talked to him this weekend, he only played like one game with the Sharks, and then he was in the trade from Boston to the Blues for Dennis Weidman, who's known for falling down in the shootout and also beating that ref with a stick. Or cross-checking,
that
him,
was
I guess.
Wild. I forgot about that.
That was wild. And he had abuse official, but Boys had his best years with the Blues. I mean, he was and he was unreal in the shootout. But yeah, it was pretty cool talking to him about that stuff. And he was telling me, it was really cool too. I forgot about this, but the Leafs alumni, he was telling me about how much money they make just being alumni. He's like, oh, you make like $1,000, you just show up to a golf tournament.
Oh, I'm dude, like,
oh my gosh.
When you go to like anything at like at Roger, or is it they changed
Scotiabank?
Scotiabank, yeah. I don't know why I always mix it up now because I always want to call it Air Canada Center. Yeah, dude, like there's a ton of them in every game. It's wild. Yeah. Like Darcy Tucker, I'm pretty sure, lives at the arena. Or like, like it's crazy.
He said he told me Andropov makes over 100. That was one that we could have used for the
Andropov.
I think he was already one of the Jets, but no. He said he makes over 100K a year just doing stuff for the alumni.
That's wild, dude.
What a gig.
And then lastly, Adrian Acoin for the Coyotes. I'm cool with that. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think that's a good one. So I think overall the West a lot better than the East. I think the East was pretty weak in my opinion. Like everyone was like, dude, no one wants Kyle Quincy as a Red Wing. Like, you know, they were like, all right, we gotta step up our game here. So I'll give them props. You gotta give them props when they do good stuff too. So I'm cool with the Western Conference choices. Let's talk quickly before we move on. Our thoughts and like we talked a little bit about this last week, but I guess, Kessa, I don't know if we get the game early. I really don't. Like, because it gets pushed back later and later. There's game changers. If you don't know, we get the game full. We get our codes, like, for our full game. Like, it used to be, like, 10 days beforehand. Last year, I think it was, like, 3? Maybe not even? Or was that?
No, it was 2. We got it on Monday, and I think the early release came out on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was something like, or the early access came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's happening this year. So, it's like, I remember last year, for anyone that doesn't know, me and Kessa, when we grinded the early access because we got to play the full game. You guys had 10 hours of it. It was like, it's like the only time we have an actual advantage, I guess. Like, cause we don't get anything else. Like, we don't get insider knowledge of who's going to be a new card or anything like that. We don't get given packs, even though everyone thinks that we do. I wish. God, I wish. So yeah, it was that early access weekend. We get the full copy of the game.
You can thank Rahanic for that one.
me and Kessa were just grinding the market. Dude, we were paying like 10K for an 80 overall because there was no one up.
They used to give out Wayne Gretzky's like candy back in the day.
Oh, yeah,
dude. And they would give you the newest card every content creator. Like, so Kessa would get 4 Gretzky's.
Well, I mean, it wasn't, but yeah.
I missed out.
You missed out.
The year I became a game changer, it was NHL 19. Maybe 18. I don't remember. I think it was 19. And they stopped it. Like, I remember I got, like, 10 packs at the launch of, like, 19 or whatever. And, like, that was it. And then there was nothing else. I think it was because GWC was a big part of it, too.
Yeah, dude. There were some content creators. Some of them just outgrew it. You know, they had kids, got married, whatever. Some of them, once those free things went away, they were like, wait, I actually have to play the game and actually, like, entertain people. I just don't get free things anymore. And they just fell off the map.
Dude, if I got, like, let's say even, like, $100 worth of packs every, like, 2 weeks, dude, that's, like, 3 videos. Like, you know, like, dude, monetization.
And they could give them away.
Yeah.
The giveaways were what was drawing people in.
But I'm actually fully on board with, like, not doing that for us because I think that's just a bad look. And I think it cheapens, like, I know when myself, when I pull something huge, it's, like, authentic because I'm, like, I've spent, like, 2 grand. Like, I've spent, like, a stupid amount of money to try and make content and get, like, cards for my team, right? And it's, like, dude, when I pull something, I'm, like, oh, my God, thank you. Like, yes. As opposed to where it was whatever.
I laugh at you being, like, oh, I'm making videos, and Rahanic's first thought was, let me sell these Gretzky's so I can get a new laptop.
Dude, Padre, you can sympathize with me. I was an idiot. Like, it took me a while to grow up mentally, right? So, like, I'm, like, 21, 22. I'm watching these people on Twitch, and I'm, like, why are they watching? These people have, like, 600, 700 people watching them. I'm, like, why are they watching them? They suck. They're not good at the game. Me and Padre would try to play them for money. They refused to play us, and, you know, whatever. And I was, like, oh, they're giving away all this shit from EA.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's, man, crazy. I never got any of the give. Like, dude, like, if I could... I can only imagine what my, like, Twitter numbers would be if I could be like, hey, I'm 2 grand on my team. Even if I didn't get free stuff from EA, I just, like, could give away my cards on my team. Like, dude, like, follow me on Twitter and you can have my full 99 overall team in December. Like, could you imagine? Like, dude, like, as a creator.
Josh Fearless is always trying to, like, figure out a way.
just, like, work his way to do it. Like, just toe the line. I respect it because, dude, he tries so hard. But anyways, so I digress. I wish I was around in that era. But for Team Builder specifically, what we were trying to say before we got on that tangent, we, like, grind at the beginning of the game. I think that if you get the game early, and especially because if you pre-order the game already, you can't do it anymore. you get the two team builder packs. So you're already two out of eight towards getting like an 89 overall, whatever the overall is for the big team builders at the beginning of the year. I think that there's a rush at the beginning, but I think that if you don't do it within the first couple weeks, it's going to be too costly. Because everyone is going to have the game and try to make these team builders, everyone that pre-ordered the game, now EA, instead of giving packs away, is giving 4,600 points, which drastically changes the market at the first weekend of the game. Because everyone's going to blow those. And all these cards are going to flood on the market, and then everyone's going to buy them up, and then it's like there's no new packs coming. Like, there's no people ripping, you know. There's obviously going to be, like, rip money in packs and whatnot, but, like, the majority of the player base does not. I saw a stat. This was 2 years ago. Less than 20% of the NHL player base that plays Hockey Ultimate Team ever spends any money in the game, which is staggering when you think about it, because everyone just assumes that everyone spends money in the game. Yep. But and the number of, even when you go over $20, it's like even crazier. It's like 10% of the player base does. So when you dry up all those free packs, man, that's when the market gets hit the most. So, Padre, you're very stingy with your coins and what you're going to do. Do you think that you'll make any of the team builders right out of the gate? And if not, are you just going to avoid them entirely?
I'll have to see if they're big. If they're big, I'll probably do it.
Dude,
I'm not gonna lie.
If they're over 6'6", dude, the viewers don't love when you say that. Just use whoever's biggest, but I'm not arguing that.
I gotta get better at the game. That's, you know, if I'm using guys.
Oh my god! All right, so we last thing we got a little bit of a leak ski. Best Buy tweeted out, or it was on their site, it was right after the 16th, where you could get the, if you pre-ordered the EA, you got the two team builder packs. That's over with now. They gotta find a way to get more pre-order still. So Best Buy has a thing where if you pre-order through Best Buy, you get a power-up icon choice pack. So a lot like what we actually got with the full version last year, where it's, you can pick one of six power-up icons. They're 82 overall, which confirms that the overalls are being lowered this year, because they started at 83 last year. We did a couple things. There's one image. If you haven't seen it, it's on my Twitter. Ray Ferraro is going to be another one. Let's start with Ray Ferraro. Card art's the exact same. Is that really rough?
He was a pick last year, too, right?
Yeah, he's fast.
Why is he? I know, but why is it the same people?
That's a good point. I'm assuming because he's they want to show him some love. That'd be my guess. Like that.
Oh, yeah.
I would think that's why. The other thing, so of those ones that were in there, so Ray Ferraro's in there, Dale Hawerchuk, good pick as well, and as well as Jeff Nieuwendyk, all same card art. And I saw a lot of people being like, oh my god, it's the same card art, like this is crap, they're just recycling. I'll say this, man, those icons are like the out of all Ultimate Team modes, because like MLB, famously, they use real Upper Deck cards or tops or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But there's no graphic design with it, really. On most of them. I think that this was a really good mix of like graphic design and real card, that like I'm kind of okay with one more year of the icons like this. Like, you know, I don't get super mad about it.
No, I thought it was a great thing whenever they did that last year.
Yeah. Now, if it's next year and it's the same card, that's a whole other thing. Like, they got to...
Yeah, that'd be pretty bad.
Some newbies, though. Ryan Smith is going from alumni to Master Set player, so he's going to get the icon treatment, where if you pull his 82, you can go all the way up. Card on him, the Oilers, the copper and blue, which is the correct Oiler color, in my opinion. I wish they would just go back to that color. Ryan Smith was pretty good, though. I looked at his card. His leader's card was actually pretty good. 6'2", I think. Decent speed. So
I stopped him in a penalty shot last 2 years ago. So
in real life?
In real life, yeah. Oh,
weird flex. All right, so he can't bury the big ones. I guess, just kidding.
But he's hilarious. He got kind of mad because we had a stack team in Nashville, and he threw a fit to the tournament organizers.
No.
Dude, he's sweaty in like, men's league. You ever seen that hit on YouTube? All the viewers out there, go look it up. Ryan Smith, men's league hockey in Canada. He gets absolutely destroyed. And I didn't realize how serious senior A hockey was in Canada, Sleazy.
Oh, dude, like, again, like once it's funny because like baseball is kind of like that too. Because like once you can't play in like in a pro league, dude, when you go to like rec or beer league, like, dude, there's a lot of guys that were like really good at hockey, just not good enough to keep going. And like that's what they got going for them, right? And Ryan, that kind of fits Ryan Smith's like, you know, full motor.
He
always
got leveled, like cold cock knocked out, like all the way. I was like, holy cow,
that's
it was
terrible.
Brutal.
That's
terrible.
Wild, dude.
Terrible. That guy's legend in Canada.
We got Wendell Clark, who is now, I believe, wasn't an icon last year. I thought I was mistaken. So. No, he got taken away because I'm picturing his like flashback moment. They used like the I did not know he was an Islander. Like there's some you could show like Jerome Iginla is technically a Dallas Star. Like you know those weird things where it's like no one remembers like that kind of stuff. Wendell Clark is an Islander is something that I did not remember. Joe Nieuwendyk, very very good and just based on I don't know his skating. If his skating is hit hard, that's tough. Although I will say this, I just realized this now. Howardchuk and Nieuwendyk are both 83s. Everyone else is 82. So, I mean, all right. I didn't realize that. And then Brad Richards, he gets the card art, like the master card art. Love that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good choice. Brad Richards is a Lightning. Love that. So, yeah. What about if pretend power-up icons stay exactly the same, Kesso, full of void again?
Full of void.
I really hope they do something, man.
Yeah.
They got to do something. If I don't know. It's funny because it went so far the other way. I remember like 3 years ago, I looked back at one of my old videos, and I think it was November, and my entire team was icons because I had like I went after like all the best cards, and it was like full icons, and I was like, dude, I don't have one real life player still on my team. This is stupid. And that was like very few. And again, guys, for anyone that's like, dude, how can you not use these guys? It's like. If you're, you know, Division I player, unfortunately, if you want to compete, you need to, you know, and you have to use a certain card to like it's tough, man. Unless you're Grenner Regs and you can use Johnny Gaudreau, you know.
I just like the voice that you did for the whoever you were imitating. That was kind of funny. That's why I was laughing.
Well, like it's tough, man, because like I'm a Division I player, but like the bottom end of it. So it's like if I don't have a good meta team, it's like damn, like I wish I could be Division Four in a sense, because then, like then you can use kind of whoever you want. It depends on your skill level, right? And that's just the problem with Rivals. So
what, this isn't on the rundown on the side, but what do you recommend, I guess, for people out there like me that aren't going to spend money? You know, I'm good enough to obviously finish high and HUD champs and whatnot, and I'm going to get my packs and whatnot, but I'm not going to spend money. Is it dumb that, like, last year I was all in on the X-Factors? And, like, it worked out in some cases with, like, the guys that turned into Team of the Years because I could just trade them in, and it was way, way cheaper than doing it, you know, from scratch. But what do you recommend, you think, this year? Do I stay away altogether from the power-up icons and the X-Factors, you know, and just maybe grind it out with base and prime times and, you know, that kind of thing?
I think it depends on the, again, so you're a very unique case. Like, you're in a very small minority because you're trying to compete for GWC. There's a lot, like, the large portion of the high-end players of this game, they think of GWC. Launch of the game, it's like they don't care about their team or whatever. It's like how I need to build the best team for GWC. And if that's the case, you're not going to spend money. You're good enough to get enough packs because there's as of right now, if there's no change to guaranteed rewards, like if you got a card in top 20, like in HUT Champs, like if you got a guaranteed card in HUT Champs, that's a pretty significant advantage like the old days. But because let's assume that they're not and it's just packs, honestly, man, you do what Flash Davin does, man. You just save everything for Team of the Year and Team of the Season because those two, those are, you know, they will always be the best cards in the game. Right. And the Evo event. The Evo event is another one where, like, not Pionk. It's defenseman I would never recommend. You know, like, you'll find one or two, like Morgan Rye last year.
Yeah, I'm going to go Game 7, I think, on Evos this year. Like, the guys that I think, like, I'm going to make up something. Like, Anders Lee was one last year that was kind of obscure. Mm-hmm. But he had the injury, and then he came back, and he ended up being, like, a 90. I think he was a 99 by the end of the year. Like, but those are the kind
of
guys.
It was risky. I remember, because, like, again, like, a lot of my content, a lot of my viewers are like, hey, who do I go after? The Evo event is tough because you have to basically stake your claim. I remember telling everyone that if you're free to play, and it's at a very awkward time in the year, too, because you don't have a lot of resources. You never have a ton. So if you're free to play, too, you're like, I was like, sell every single thing that you have and get Duchesne and Kyrou. And I remember being like, with Duchesne, because he had scored so many goals already, and they just do not release it early enough. In my opinion, it should be the very first event. And now with the season technically starting by that's another thing we haven't even touched on. The season starts before we get the game, which is COVID. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. But like, man, that's annoying. You know, it's unfortunate because they come up with these cards, and they're all starting at like 74. Let's say for the Master Set players, they try to like prognosticate when they'll get to 99. and usually they're pretty good, man. But the reason why Evo event's my favorite is because EA has no control. They have no control over Duchesne scoring his career best by 13 and having a 99 in December. Like, that stuff is the Evo event's the only event where you can get a return like that on Master Set players. Like, it's the only time. And same with Kairu. Because I'm a Sharks fan, I've seen Kairu a ton.
I told you about Kairu year too. I'm like, tell all your viewers, Kairu's going to do it. And I remember you were like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm telling you right now. I remember you making him right before it ended.
30 minutes beforehand, and then I can't remember what event came after, but I remember being so devastated because I couldn't make, all of my stuff was gone because I made Kairu. And it was because, again, if you have an insane team, say you spend like a couple hundred bucks on the game, a lot of these Evo guys, even the matches, are not going to be on your team. Like, there's this weird awkwardness where, like, if they're not popping off early, like, that's it. I remember one of my all-time favorite Hockey Ultimate cards, Brady Tkachuk, the very first year they did it.
So good.
One of the best cards I've ever used in Hockey Ultimate team. I could not use his card for a month, almost 6 weeks, because he just wouldn't get up high enough. He'd score a couple goals here or there, but because of the progression, I, like, literally couldn't get him on my team. And then once I got him on my team, I was like, dude, this is the best card I've ever used. Like,
Do you regret not making Duchesne last year? Because sometimes I do because I'm so cheap and, like, lazy with my team. But then it's almost like in the end, it always ends up working out. I always have the guys I want. My team's good enough to compete. But I was, like, for a while, I was like, dang, maybe I should have listened to Sleevesy because, you know, he's, like, a guaranteed, like, high-end overall guy for, like, a lot of months. And, yes, he wasn't huge, but he was still, like, really good for how fast he was in a shot.
Before you jump in, Kesso, I just want to forget, like, the thing about Duchesne, too, when they use someone like him, his speed was so high that, he was the fastest player in the game, pretty much, which just takes, like, that to a whole other level. Like, the risk was so low. Same with Kairu. Kairu had insane speed, too, so.
Yeah. No, but I didn't regret that just because I knew by the time GWC was here, like, we would have, like, the 97 and 99 overall players. I love the Evo event because there's a lot of, like, gambling involved. There's a lot of risk assessment, right? So last year, McCann was, like, not a sought after.
Me and you talked about him every week.
We talked about it.
Every week
we talked about him. And I was talking to Padre about it, too. I'm like, this guy's on the first line in Seattle. He's their first line center. He has good, like, advanced, like, statistics and stuff. He had good underlying metrics. He's going to just find himself in the 20 to 25 goals. And if he does that, he's going to be a 99. He was selling for 110K. Like, if you had 1 million coins and you bought him at that, like, you could have had 10 million coins at one point.
I'll never forget the Morgan Riley, bro, because you bought, like, 7 of them, and I was like, I bought one, and I was like, man. Because defensemen are the risk, because I remember Pionk during the event scored 1, and it was, like, his only goal for the whole year.
Which is weird, because he was always, like, the years before, he scored more.
He did, I think, but, like, that's the thing about defensemen, though, because, like, they could go, like, 2 months without one. And Morgan Riley, I think, scored I remember being at an Ice Dog game, and you were just texting me, like, bro, I'm a millionaire. And I'm just like, you had, like, 6 of them. I was like, dude.
Well, Morgan Riley just flicks those little floaters in there like John Klingberg does. Yep. And scores because he runs the power play there. I think this would go with my wish list. Is we've all talked about this before. I would love, in the beginning of the year, you have Evos that, like, in for the pre-order.
Every team.
To pick from. It would be so cool to be able to pick from, you know, every team one Evo, or, you know, I would just love it because I think it also brings more eyes onto the real sport, which is the whole goal of them creating this video game for, like, the league putting their stamp, you know, on the video game is they want people to play the video game than come watch the real hockey. So it's like, and like Kesso, you probably watch more Jared McCann. Well, I guess not because he's a Penguin, but you probably watched, like, more Morgan Riley more than ever last year. Because
I followed, like, a lot of the games. I would click on the box score every single night just to see if he scored. I didn't even need to because I would get, like,
Twitter, bro.
Tweets or something. Like, dude, did you just see that? Like,
dude, every time Duchesne scored, dude, my Twitter, my notifications would just implode, bro. Like, they would just go. But, like, that's a fun thing, too, because I remember Kessel was, like, another one where me and you were, like, this is, like, a low-key, like, because Kessel, he had a really bad year. And shooting percentage-wise, like, one of the worst shooting percentage of his year, too, of his career, too. Like, if Kessel was it again, I would bank in Vegas that he will put off.
Vegas?
Like, yeah.
I think they should use Carlson in Vegas just to mix it up. Because he had a down year last year, too.
I think it would just be super sweet. Because, like, it's funny because they do so much homework. Like, talking with the content devs, like, they do so much homework and historical, like, data on when these guys, because they can't just put in, like, you know, like, you know, Hall and, like, be like, put him at an 80 and, like, this, they have
Tarasenko
to.
Was the Blues last year. That was a good one.
There's so many injuries. But, like, you know, like, give me, give me a Pittsburgh Penguin. Like, let's pretend you got one with your pre-order. Give me the perfect Pittsburgh Penguin and the rating he would start at. Let's say everyone start. Let's say everyone starts at 75. Who's the perfect Pittsburgh Penguin?
So I don't think you can go superstars. You just
no, can't. You can't. No, because that would be no.
So
you can't.
I would go Raquel this year.
Yeah, that's a perfect one. Yes.
I think that'd be great. Yep. I mean, we talked about the sleeves. One of these episodes, it might have been in the 20s or the 30s because we're up to 46 now. It should be a thing. Padre just said it. Like, it should be like a you know, middle of the pack guy that you get with your pre-order bonus. They started X overall, 75 would be perfect, and you get them whenever the game comes out. It would Padre, be, who would be yours on the Blues?
Oh gosh,
Buchnevich.
No, it wouldn't be Bucci. I'm trying to think.
It could be a defenseman. They go by two.
Yeah, it could be. It could a defenseman. Be Falk.
Dude, you would pick Parayko.
No. I think I'd honestly pick probably Barbashev. Just because that's a good he one. Had that crazy year last year. He's already been one, so that's a bad one, actually. I don't know.
He was one.
It's a weird team. Maybe Sot.
There's so many guys team. That pot 20 goals. That's the thing. Yeah, that team just, is just 20 like goal
a,
scores.
They're like a score by committee team. I mean, Tarasenko was literally the perfect one last year because he came off like the double shoulder thing, and he was so down. Everyone's like, I mean, the Kraken didn't even take him. You know what I mean? Like in the fantasy or in the expansion draft. Like,
yeah. No, that would
who
be.
Who would you take on the Sharks? Let's do the Sharks.
I think it like has to be like Eklund.
What about LeBanc?
I want to say LeBanc, but like I think he's a toast, and like he might like. I don't know. He's not well received anymore. Like he's probably not going to be on the dude. The Sharks roster is all just a bunch of like third and second line veterans. Yeah. Like it's not pretty.
Well,
like,
this thing would be so great though because it would have so much like crap talking between people would. And like oh I took him. You're so dumb for not taking him. Like blah blah blah. And like it just creates and it's another reason to keep playing the game kind of because you have like that one little like that golden ticket that could cash in at
you're
the end.
You're free to
you know,
play.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it just makes them, I don't know, there's just something fun about it. Or, I mean, even if you really want to get real crazy, give four out for each division. You know, I mean, you know, like, you pick one from each team from each division. You know, I don't know,
something
I mean.
Like that, yeah. It would be really cool. But, yeah. All right, I mean, we just actually, I mean, this is actually kind of a segue. I was going to put wishlist at the end. It's something that we'd like to see. But, I mean, again, so we kind of covered it there. But we got the Hockey Ultimate Team Deep Dive still coming up at the beginning of October. Give me the one thing that you realistically think could be in there and really needs to be. Castle, you go first.
Leaderboards and rivals. We could use that.
Yep, I
he took mine.
I was gonna say, yeah, give me something else. Yeah, Padre's probably gonna say leaderboards.
Scoring with players and them getting better or something, right?
Oh, dude, like parallel system. Yeah, I would say just something new to the weekly cycle.
Yeah,
one of my biggest fears is that it's gonna be squad battles, rivals, champs, hut rush for the fourth year.
Yeah, maybe more ways to like keep track of stats so you can see how each player is doing more than just like, oh, well, he has this many goals. And I'm like, well, I banged in like 20 goals in squad battles and it counts. Yeah. So I don't
needs
really
to
know.
Get
you
one
know?
Of those free MSPs.
Like, oh, I put it, you know, I can reset his stats in the auction house because he didn't sell. I just, you know, I want to see like just more in depth, you know, things like face off wins and losses or.
Dude, I did
you know,
track
like that,
dude. Who remembers the Excel sheet that
I used for
4 weeks, bro? Dude, that was like half my stream. I'd play three games and the rest of it would literally be putting all the stats in manually.
I feel like you're in high school again doing homework.
Dude, it's awful. I'm so bad at Excel. It took me forever. All right, guys. I mean, this was fun. We got next week. I don't know if we'll get another. I don't know when the next deep dive. The game modes one is going to be comical, I think. So that'll be
Wait,
a good
is that
one.
One again?
I don't know. They haven't announced it, but it's got to be next week. Or I mean, within the next two, because and it's October. It says in September, so.
I mean, like with women being added or fully out of the game, they should have the World Championship game mode. Why not?
That yeah, like that'd be sick too, like something like that.
You know, and in a few years they're having the World Cup come back. Like, hopefully that's in the game. I don't know. I'm Kessa. Do you remember the year? And Sleazy, you might remember this. I can't remember what year it was when they had the World 16, Cup.
16, I think, or. Maybe
no, even before that one, back in the day, they had like a whole mode dedicated to. And maybe 16,
yeah.
But it was like when they played games in Minnesota and like Brett Hall and Bill Guerin, all those guys were on Team USA, and yep. Robert Ash was the goalie. Like, oh. I wish they'd have like something like that. Maybe
I remember in like NHL like 04-05 when you do like the World versus whatever, and it would be like that EA Arena. It was like on like the. I don't know why I just thought about that, but all right, guys. Well, we have thank you guys for listening to the Hut Coffee and Shell podcast. We'll be back with our Atlantic Division preview this week on the real stuff that will be coming on the next episode. But I want to thank everyone again for watching and listening. And we'll see you guys next time. Have a good one.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.